John chapter number 21. And you pray for us tonight that the Lord would help us. We're going to read the first 11 verses, then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. John chapter number 21. And we're going to start reading verse number 1. John chapter 21, verse number 1. The Bible said, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Let's pray. Lord, we come tonight and I want to thank you for all the blessings you've given to us. And Lord, I ask that you would help tonight. I pray that you'd help most of all spiritually. I pray the Spirit of God would be manifest in our hearts tonight, that we could worship, that we could listen with a spiritual attitude tonight, and that God, your Spirit, would speak to our spirit. And I pray that you would give good liberty to preach thy word, and I pray that you'd help me physically tonight, that I would be able to preach, and that, Lord, everybody would be able to hear the message tonight. So I pray for help, and that you'd help one more time, as we've preached a lot this week. And so in our body we're weary, and in our mind we're weary. But, Lord, in our spirit we're excited about what you can do in our midst. And I want to thank you for saving Antia. And Lord, I look forward to hearing her testimonies. We talked with her, prayed with her, and Lord, we saw that you was dealing with her heart, and we trust and believe that you've saved her by your marvelous grace. And so we rejoice that some young person that's heard the gospel here could go back to their country and tell others what great things you've done for them. I just praise your name for that. And Lord, as we come tonight, have your way, speak to our hearts, and do in our midst what you'd love to do. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen.
All right. If you can hear me, I hope you can. Turn this thing up. Be all right with me. John chapter 21. Let's go back. I don't know if you noticed, but you find the word draw in these verses. You find draw, dragging, and you find drew.
Verse number 6, the last part of the verse, the Bible said, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. That's that same word we've been looking at, and it means to drag, to coil, to wrap up, and to drag along. And there were so many fish that they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And the last part of verse number 8, the Bible said the disciples came in a little ship dragging the net with fishes.
And then in verse number 11, Jesus said, bring the fish which you have now caught. Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. And so we preached on this subject already four times on the drawing of God. And so tonight we're preaching on that same subject, the drawing of God, part number five. In John chapter 6 and verse number 44, I'm sure you're familiar with that already. The Bible said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So in John chapter 6, verse number 44, you have the drawing of the Father. John chapter number 12, verse number 32. The Bible said over there, Jesus said over there, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You have the drawing of the Father. Nobody gets saved except the Father draws them. John 12, 32, we have the drawing of the Son. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. John chapter number 21 pictures for us the drawing of the Holy Ghost of God. See, Jesus said in John chapter number 3, he said, you hear the wind, you hear the sound thereof, but you don't know where it comes from. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And he's talking over there about the moving and the working of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God works out of sight. Amen. The Spirit of God works underneath. See, them fishermen, they didn't have like fishermen do today. They didn't have GPS that looks down in the water and tells you where the fish were. They didn't think there was any fish going to be caught. But the Lord had a great harvest ready. That's a picture of the Spirit of God. We don't know what the Spirit of God's getting ready to do. Might be a great harvest. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Amen. That drawing the net and not losing any of those fish, that's the Spirit of God. Amen. And so what a great picture that is in John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21 is post resurrection. Jesus had already risen from the dead. Jesus had already appeared to the disciples at least two other times. John chapter number 20, he appeared to them in verses 19 through 23, but Thomas was not there. Next Sunday night service, the Lord appears to him again, and Thomas is there. And just read a couple of verses. Chapter 20, verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Amen. And so the Lord had already been to the cross. He had already been resurrected from the grave. And he had already appeared to the disciples two other times. And this other time is on the shore after they'd fished all night long. If you turn over a page to Acts chapter 1, verse number 3, I want to show you something over there. This John chapter 21 takes place after the resurrection, before the ascension, before Jesus goes back to heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so there is a 40 day time period between the resurrection and the ascension, where Jesus went back to heaven. 40 in the Bible is a number of testing. There's several 40s in the Bible. For example, the flood was upon the earth 40 days, Genesis 7 and 17. Moses was on the mount 40 days, Exodus 24 and 18. The spies searched out the land, and Numbers 13, 25 says after 40 days they returned. When you find 40 in the Bible, it's a time of testing. Elijah went in the strength of that meat 40 days. It wasn't just Moses that fasted 40 days, and it wasn't just Jesus 40 days in the wilderness, but Elijah fasted 40 days as well. In the book of Jonah, after Jonah was resurrected, he came and he preached to the Ninevites, and he said, yet 40 days and the Lord will overthrow. If you don't get right with God in 40 days, you're done. That's what we find in the book of Jonah. 40 days is a time of testing. And so we find in John chapter number 21, here's the test. Now they could have failed the test, but I believe they passed the test. Now I've already preached on the word draw. The word draw is a catching word, a courting word, a commanding word. It's word that has authority with it. It's a compulsory word, compelling, come along. Last time I preached on this fourth message, we said that it is a conjoining word. To join, to unite, to connect. And tonight, it is a co-laboring word. That's what we have in chapter number 21. Co-laboring means working together. And John chapter number 21 pictures for us 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9. For we are laborers together with God. Do you know God desires us to labor with Him? You know, people are not going to get saved if we don't labor together with the Lord. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, Jesus told the church, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And the power did not come until Acts chapter number 2, the day of Pentecost. They didn't do nothing till the Lord came on them. Till the Holy Spirit of God came on them in power. And then we find the power of God upon the church. The drawing power of God upon the church. Now, if nobody gets saved apart from the drawing of God, and they don't. John 6, 44. And Jesus has already done his part. John 12, 32. If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. This spake he concerning the death. He would die. Jesus had to go to the cross. Then we find in John 21 a picture of the drawing of the Holy Ghost. The fish in the net, unseen. But then there's a great harvest. If all those things have to take place in order for somebody to get saved, I want to make sure in John chapter number 21 that we do our part. Do you know the church has a part in the drawing of God? Amen. God's already done his part. His drawing's on the fore end. Preach four times on that. Jesus has already done his part. He went to the cross and died. The Holy Ghost of God's doing his part, working in the world today. But there's some drawing yet to be done by the disciples. And if they didn't pass this test, no fish. Let's look at John chapter number 21. Let me point out some things tonight. Still talking about the drawing of God. But I'm preaching tonight to the church, our part in the drawing of God. Number one, you'll notice there's much activity. In verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now, Peter said in verse number 3, he said, I go a fishing. Now, a lot of people give Peter a hard time, but Peter didn't say, I'm going back to fishing. Peter just said, I'm going fishing. I believe with all my heart, Peter knew there was still a great work to do. But Peter is like a lot of us. Peter cannot stand inactivity. And so here's some days. And the Lord hadn't told him anything specifically to do. And so they have free time on their hands. They have days off. Peter just can't stand standing around doing nothing. And Peter says, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm going fishing. And some of the rest of the disciples, they were just like Peter. They said, we also go. We're going to go with you. You know what? If I'd have been there, I'd have probably went with them too. I mean, the Lord's appeared to us. We've had two services. And he came and he left. But what are we supposed to do? We've got time on our hands. What are we supposed to do? I'd have probably went fishing. They're fishermen. That's what they do. And that's what they were called from, was that they were fishers. So they returned to what they'd always known. In Matthew chapter number 4, Jesus passed by. I preached on that last time. The Lord comes by sometimes when we're busy at work. And what were they doing? They were mending their nets. They were fishermen. And the Lord Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they followed him for 3 years. They followed him all the way to the cross. They saw him die. Now they know he's risen from the dead.
Amen.
But the Lord wasn't right there with them. And so they said, I'm going back fishing. I'm going to go fishing. I've got a little time on my hands. And I'm going to go back fishing. Once a fisher, always a fisher. Maybe that's the way that it is. But they had everything they had to go. They needed to go fishing. I mean, there's the water. Verse number 1, the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee. This is their home. There's water. There's boats. There's nets. There's know-how. There's knowledge. All of those things. Somebody asked me a while back. They said, you want to go golfing? I said, well, I hadn't been a long time, but I'll tell you, I know where all my stuff is. Didn't take me long to get it all together and go golfing. These fellas said, we got some time off. Peter said, I'm going fishing. The rest of them said, we're going with you. That's what fishers do. We have here the right people. They were Galileans. And I was studying about this. When in the book of Joshua, they conquered the land. Each tribe was given a certain inheritance. There were only certain tribes surrounding the Sea of Tiberias. The Galileans, they were the ones that inherited that. And from what I was studying about this, only those tribes could be what we would call commercial fishermen. That's what Peter, James, John, these men that are mentioned in verse number 2, Thomas, Nathaniel, Peter, Andrew, these men, they could go out and fish. This was their homeland. Anybody could come and fish with a hook, but not anybody could go out on a boat with nets. They had every right to go out there and go back fishing. They didn't even have to go to the fishing game and get a license. I mean, this is their land. You had the right people. You had the right place. The Bible said that they entered into a ship in verse number 3. They fished at the right time. They fished all night long. Evidently, that's prime fishing time. I guess that's sort of like coon hunting. Somebody asked me to go coon hunting. I got my first and my last time in the first trip. Out there in the woods, briars slapping you in the face, climbing the side of a mountain, chasing a dog. And they said, he's on the one. I couldn't tell. It just sounded like a barking dog to me. I decided, that's a long time ago. And I believe that night is for sleeping. Hey man, where are you going to find me at night? You're not going to find me fishing. And you're not going to find me coon hunting. I'm going to be in my bed. But I guess if you're a fisherman, you got another way of thinking about you. And nighttime, that's prime time. And they fished all night long. They had a valiant effort put into it all night long. All night long. This is a picture of the church and all of our activity. Do you know nobody could accuse us of not being busy? Are we not very busy in all that we do? We do a lot. I'm sure there's other churches maybe do more. But we just about got something going on about every night of the week sometimes. There's much busyness in the church at large today. I mean, we've got sometimes, not all the time, we got visiting going on Mondays and Saturdays a lot of time. Extra prayer meetings going on. We got a Bible study on Tuesday night. We've got a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Once upon a time, we had school going on Thursday night. And I'm part of the church, and I'm going to school on Thursday night. We got something all the time. We got something every season. We got special things that go on. And we have just a lot of busyness going on. And one season rolls right into the next. You know, a while back I told Kim, I said maybe we have a little break now. And she said, well, I got to go back to church early. We're looking at the calendar. I said, what could possibly be going on now? She said, we're getting ready for Christmas. Practice. Things. We'll get done with the Christmas. You know what will be right around the corner for that? Getting ready for vacation Bible school. And we just roll right into the next thing and the next thing, and we're continually doing things in the church. We're very, very busy. There's a lot of activity going on. There's always something going on. There's other things added in unexpectedly that we are involved in. And I'm not saying these things are bad, but I'm saying we're active. We've got a lot of activity going on. Not just our church, every church is like that. A lot of busyness. When we were in England, I'll never forget this. Our pastor in England, he got up one Sunday, might have been Sunday night, I don't know. But he said this. He said, there ain't nothing going on at the church this coming week. He said, some of you spend more time here than you do with your family. He said, if you lose your family, you've lost your ministry. This is a shock to everybody because everybody is very used to being very, very busy. And he said, I don't want nobody here Monday night. I don't want nobody doing nothing Tuesday night. I don't remember if we called prayer meeting off or not, but he said, this week we ain't doing nothing. He said, we're churning our wheels. We're busy, 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 but you're wore slap out. He probably didn't say you're wore slap out because he's a Yankee, but... You know, he said, we're busy. Most of us, most churches, very, very busy. Activity is the first thing I see. But in spite of all the effort, in spite of all the expense, in spite of all the activity in church today and in the disciples fishing all night long, there is a burning question. Look at verses 4 and 5. Now in verse 3, they fished all night, they caught nothing. Verse number 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. He's 200 cubits, they're 200 cubits away, which is about 100 yards. That's a long way. They didn't know it was the Lord, but they hear a voice. Verse 5, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Do you know that's a pretty short answer if you think about it? There's activity, but there's an acknowledgement. Children, have ye any meat? No. It's a pretty short answer. That's that kind of answer that I would expect under those circumstances. It's like when I was young, played baseball, played football, we go have a game. We all want to win. We come home, maybe mom didn't get to go. She'd say, how was the game? Did you win? No. It's that kind of answer. It's like if I would go golfing and play terrible. And I would come home and Kim would say, "You been golfing? Did you have a good time?" "No." "Didn't have a good time. Played awful. Lost 5 balls. Just missed shooting a good score by 2 strokes. That'd just tear me up." "Did you have a good time? Did you go hunting? See anything?" "No." "Didn't see anything." It's that kind of no. "Children, have you any?" He didn't say, "Did you catch any fish?" He said, "Have you any meat?" They said, "No." They didn't catch no fish. They didn't catch no lobster, no shrimp, no scallops, no crabs, nothing. I know they're Jews. They're not fishing for shrimp and lobster. They didn't have no sardines, nothing. "Children, have you any meat?" "No." "Nothing." You know, a lot of times people ask us, they say, "How was church?" Somebody asked me this morning, "How was revival?" Well, let me tell you how church is. A lot of churches, I'm not just preaching to us, I'm saying by and large, how's church? We hadn't had anybody saved in 18 months. I bet that's average. We hadn't had anybody saved in 18 months. We hadn't baptized nobody in 2 years. On Wednesday night, we might have a third of what we had on Sunday morning. And a lot of young children in the church probably don't know that back here's a baptistry and you fill it up with water and you go in there. They ain't never seen it before. But when somebody asks us, "How was revival? How's church?" "Good." See the difference there? Is it really good? Our whole purpose that Jesus left us here was to see people saved. Amen. Once upon a time, revivals were measured by how many were saved. Am I right? To have revival, how many saved? Might be we had 5, we had 6, we had 4. Years ago, I read about it, I heard about it. Some of you experienced, you would have revival. You might have 10, 12 people saved. That's a good revival. How's church? Brother Rose, Brother Jimmy Rose, that was a missionary in Brazil. He's been off the field for years now. But I remember him preaching to the churches about how it's different down there. But they've had church for years and years and years. And every service, they'll have somebody saved. I remember him standing up and preaching. Might have been here, might have been Friendship, might have been Forest Grove. I've heard him Mountain Dale. Lots of places. He said, "I promise when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you will meet thousands of Brazilians that have come to know the Lord through our ministry. If they come to church and didn't have anybody saved," he said, "they'd be on that altar wondering what was wrong." We come to church all the time and rarely see anybody saved. And it doesn't faze us a bit. Right. Amen. How's church? How's revival? Now them disciples, surely somebody had a pack of nabs in their pocket. Surely somebody had a sardine sandwich left over from the night before. When the Lord said, "Children, have you any meat?" They could have looked around and said, "We got a moon pie. We got a pack of crackers and we got a box of sardines. We got a little bit." But they acknowledged. "You got anything?" "No." You know, if we compare our churches to the churches in the New Testament, have you any meat? Now we have to admit tonight that we have a lot of things that they didn't have. Amen. Don't we? We have buildings. Look over in Acts chapter number 2. We got a lot of things that the churches in the Bible did not have. We have very nice buildings, and you know what? I thank God for that. When we have missionaries come through and they say, we've been meeting under a palm tree for 3 years. We have a block building, but we don't have a roof. But they got so many people that they fill it up every Sunday. When I hear that, I'm thankful for our building. I'm thankful for a roof. I'm thankful for heat and air conditioning. And every time I sit on a pew that's not padded, I'm thankful for our padded pews. Well, I tell you, there's not anything much harder than a wooden pew. It'll put you to sleep, your tailbone to sleep in about 5 minutes. Maybe we need to take the padding off the pews. We got buildings. We got Sunday schools. We got vacation Bible schools. We got singing schools. We got Bible institutes. We got Sunday night, Sunday morning, prayer meeting night. We got homecoming services. We got Christmas plays. We got things going on all the time. We have complete Bibles. Do you know the churches in the New Testament did not have a complete Bible? We've got on our laps from Genesis to Revelation every word God wanted us to have. I believe that with all of my heart. The book of Psalms says that He's magnified His word above all of His name. We've got it all. We've got Bible tracts. We've got radio stations, radio programs. We have all kinds of music. We have all kinds of literature. We have full-time pastors. You know, Paul worked a job on the side, and there's nothing wrong with that. I've done that for many, many years. He was a tent maker. Others mended nets. We got full-time pastors. You know what? We've got something churches then, and a lot of churches for a lot of years didn't have. We've got money. Yep. Look, we've got money. I read, Uncle Clint gave me a little history of Mountaindale. Very common among mountain churches. They took up offerings for years. 5 cents, 10 cents, $1.15. Took them a long time to get $100. We've got money. We've got all of these things. Do you know, there's not one church in the New Testament that is older than Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. You ever thought about that? I mean, they were new. They were all new. Galatians, Ephesians, all in the book of Acts. All the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3. They were all very young. None of them had their 50-year anniversary when John got done in the book of Revelation. Experience, maturity, age, all of those things. They didn't have it. They're just starting out. The church at Corinth, the church at Galatia, all those churches. We're older. Well, we got a lot of advantages, but look in Acts chapter number 2. Look in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. The Bible said, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. When's the last time 3 souls were added unto us? One day, first preaching service, Spirit of God comes, 3,000 people get saved. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions, goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They had people saved every day. House church. Children, have you any meat? The disciples said, no. Now, I'm not saying church is not good. But once upon a time, we said, how was revival? How many were saved? You know what we've traded that for? We've traded that for this. Well, it was a good church revival. And God's people got some help. And that's good. And that's necessary. But we really ought to ask ourselves the question, if we're not seeing souls saved, are we really doing anything? Because it's still not His will that any should perish, but that all should come under repentance. Well, they're being saved over there, and they're being saved over there, and I praise the Lord for that. I'd really like to see some saved over here.
Amen.
Wouldn't you? I'm not being mean tonight. I'm just being real honest. As we look in the Bible, we compare ourselves with the churches in the Bible. In Acts chapter number 4, verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. You say, oh, preacher, now I don't know about that. You know, I'm not ancient. And I've not been around 100 years by any means. But I have been in some prayer meetings where the Spirit of God was so real that you felt like taking your shoes off because you were on holy ground. I don't think this is some ancient something for that church and we're to have no inkling of what that means. I've been in some prayer meetings where God was so real that you knew you had been beyond the veil. Now, I'm not talking about weird, crazy. I'm talking about the reality of meeting God's people, meeting with the Lord. It's a real thing. The place where they were prayed was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that all the things which he possessed were his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where's that great power at? I thought about preaching this morning, but I'm glad I preached it tonight because I'm preaching to the church. When lost people come in, they ought to witness that among God's people there was a great power. Once upon a time, now it's still the same, but it's hard to get people into church because they knew if they went to church, they was power.
Amen.
And so if they were under conviction, they would run from that. Preacher Carl told me one time, he said sinners used to slow down to go by the church. There's power in the church.
Amen.
There's power in the prayers of God's people, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was great power. There was great grace. So how was church? It was good. I'm guilty. I'm telling you. Preachers, you got to realize I've been a preacher all my adult life. But I think sometimes people ask you, how was church? It was good. It was a good message. We have a lot of good church. We have a lot of good message. But we come right down to drawing that net. And I don't think we got enough drawing power to get it in. There was an acknowledgement, children. Have you any meat? No. There's action in verse number 6. Look what the Bible says. Verse number 6, the Bible said, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Cast the net, and the Lord's on the shore there in the ship. They don't know that's Jesus yet. And so this stranger says, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. Now think about that. Here is the moment of truth. Do you really think moving that net? And I don't think that that ship would have been any bigger than from this pew over to this pew. I think that's probably, that might be 15 feet. 15, 16 feet. Do you really think moving that net from that side to that side is going to make any difference? Now, is anybody skeptical? Is anybody critical about things they hear? Can you imagine them disciples? And they, here somebody says, just move your net to the other side and you'll catch the fish. What would you have done? I'm just being honest. I'd have probably said, I don't think that's going to make any difference. A fish over there, a fish over here. You tell me that if I just move that net to the other side, and besides, we fish all night already. Do you think any of them disciples thought that? I mean, we've been out here all night long. We hadn't caught nothing. Let's call it a night. Forget about it. Moving that thing 15 feet ain't going to make any difference. And we've already been out here all night long. Let's go to town and get some breakfast. Forget about it. It's a bad idea, Peter. I think Peter was the pastor, by the way. So we're going to blame him. It's his idea. They went with him, but they didn't catch nothing. Just forget about it. We've been out here all night already. Besides, we have done this collectively thousands of times. All these men were fishers. Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other disciples. They were all fishers. They've done this thousands of times. Don't you think we know what we're doing? Don't you think that holds us back sometimes? We've done this. We've done this all our lives. We know what we're doing. We know the motions to go through. Surely we know how to catch a fish. But besides, it's a pain to move the net. You don't believe it's a pain to move the net? Try to do anything different in a Baptist church. But if anybody gets in the rut, we do. Try to do anything that you've not already been doing. Now, we can add stuff on, but try to change anything. You're going to get some backlash. And so I'm sure somebody said, fellas, it's a pain to move that net. Surely they had a mast in the middle. They got all their oars. They got all their paddles. They got all their gear and clothes and everything laying around. They're wore out. They've been out there all night. I just don't want to drag that thing up and throw it on the other side. Any of them could have said that. But I want to point something out. Look in Luke chapter number 5. Keep your place there. And I believe some of them probably remembered this. But I want to say tonight that the Lord was not asking them to do anything that He had not already proved to them would work if they would listen. The Lord didn't ask them to do something that He hadn't already asked them to do. And they did it once before, and they had a great draw of fish. Luke chapter 5, verse number 4. Jesus had borrowed Peter's boat and preached on it. And when He got done, Luke chapter number 5, verse number 4. Now when He had left speaking, that's Jesus, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. See, it wasn't that it had never happened before that you could fish all night and not catch anything. But look at what Simon said. This is Peter here, Simon Peter. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I think that's how he probably said it too. Well, you're the Lord, you're the master. You think you know everything about fishing now. We're the fishers. We fished all night, we've not caught anything. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink.
Amen.
The Lord didn't ask him to do something he had already not asked them to do, and prove to them that it would work. Now I want to say right there, the Lord is not asking us to do anything that God's people have not already done and proved that it'll work.
Amen.
What are you saying? I'm not saying we need new anything. We don't need nothing. We don't need to spend $1 to do what needs to be done. We've already got everything. We don't need to go out and buy new Bibles or promote new. There's a lot of that out here. We don't need new Bibles. We don't need a drum set. We don't need 3 leaders. We don't need projection screens with the words. We don't need to get rid of the song books and bring in the Hollywood and the pop music and all the stuff that churches are trying to get people in, trying to Hollywood gimmick them. Trying to run it like a business.
Amen.
We don't need none of that. The old time Christians had revival. They walked it. They lived it. They believed it. They loved the Lord. They took time for God. They prayed. They had a burden. They would get people on their mind. They'd pray them in. That's our part. There had to be action. That book I taught on Vacation Bible School, Brother Roby Eggers, he was talking about a great revival they had up at Beaver Dam one time, and they had a fall revival, and it was great. Had a lot of people saved, and there were so many people interested in getting saved, they had to call the preachers back and have another revival.
Amen.
Brother Eggers said in that book, he said, "We can take no credit for this." He said, "The old gray-headed men at Forest Grove prayed it down." I'm not talking about us going out and dragging somebody down, but I'm talking about when we have, as God's people, we ought to have the drawing power.
Amen.
Upon us when sinners come in. There was action, and then in the last part of verse number 6, this is the last thing, there was accomplishment. They cast therefore. I think somebody in that boat said, maybe said, you know, it might be a good idea to move that net, because you remember that one time when the Lord barred your ship and we got so many fish in, the net broke. Let's try it. See, they still don't know that's the Lord. Boy, when them fish started to weigh that net down, that boat went, whoa! John, I'm not going to preach all this, but John said, that's the Lord.
Amen.
And Peter was so excited, he just jumped in the water and swam to shore. There was an accomplishment when they did what the Lord told them to do. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. You know, all they did was got in on what God was already doing underneath. I'll tell you, I believe in our churches today, we're pretend fishermen.
Amen.
I mean, there's a lot of people who likes to go to the lake, but they're not fishing. They'd like to ride around on the boat. They like to sit on the shore. We're not even lowering our nets down.
Yep.
They lowered their their net on the other side. And what they found out was that God already had a great harvest there. Ready. And all the Lord done was run them into that net. And now they've got so many fish they can't even draw it. They can't even pull. They can't even drag. Verse number 8. Dragging the net with fishes. God under the radar had already been gathering all them fishes. It might amaze us who would get saved if they just heard the gospel. And if you don't believe there's a lot of people in this county that have not heard the gospel, you need to come over. You need to come over on the campus. You need to get out in the community. You need to talk to your neighbor about something besides gardening. You'll find out there's people on this road lost.
Amen.
Sure enough, all up and down these hollers lost. There's so many, one person can't get around. Do you know something about these fishers? They all had to be involved. When Peter said, "I go a-fishing," you know, he couldn't have fished like that by himself. You can't do it. It takes a crew. And for the church to do what God designed the church to do, it takes a crew.
Amen.
Not just the preachers, not just one or two, but it takes all of us. It amazes us how many are catchable, how many are ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul said over there, "I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." It's the Lord that gives the increase. I can't save anybody, and neither can you. But boy, if we do what the Lord said to do, we might find He's already got a bunch lined up.
Amen.
Just ready to be caught. Jesus directed from the shore. The Holy Ghost is out there working out of you, getting the net ready to be filled up. The disciples, all they did was just pull them in. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto them, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." Isn't that good of the Lord? He gives us credit when really He's the only one that deserves any credit. Look what the Lord said. "Bring of the fish." Now, if we read on down, He already had the fish and bread there, prepared and ready. And He said to Peter, He said, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." They fished all night and didn't catch nothing. Until the last few minutes. This ought to encourage us. I know we're living in the last days and all that. But in the last few minutes, they caught more than they caught all night long. We don't realize tonight how close we might be to God doing a great thing in our midst. Let's don't count the Lord out until the trump sounds. When the trump sounds, our work's done. But until then, we are out on the sea. The Holy Ghost is working in the world. And Jesus from the shore is telling us what to do. They caught more in that little period of time than they caught all night long. Now, look in verse number 11. I like this. Now, if you think this is easy work, this is not easy work. And there's a lot of work needs to be done. There's drawing and dragging going on here. I'm sure this is messy work and hard work and heavy work. And all the disciples couldn't get the fish in until Peter went back and helped them. And in verse number 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. If the church can't draw, what's going to happen? If the church can't draw, What's going to happen? Look in Isaiah chapter number 37. And I'm almost done tonight. If the church has no drawing power. Isaiah chapter number 37. Now, one of the last times I ever heard my grandpa Cornett preach was out of this verse. Isaiah chapter 37 in verse number 3. And the Bible said, and they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. If the children are come to the birth and there's no strength to bring forth, the children are going to die. They're going to be stillborn.
Amen.
And I wonder in our churches, and this bothers me, children are interested. It seems like they can't get saved. They come to the altar and pray, and not just here, but I've seen this a lot of places. It's like God is dealing with their heart and they know they're lost. They know they need to be saved and they're interested, but it seems like they just can't get birthed.
Amen.
And I wonder if we don't have no drawing power. I mean, the Holy Ghost evidently has dealt with their heart. The net is closing around them and it's like they're right there. Peter went down there and grabbed hold of that net and he got them 153 fishes in. And in the old time Christians, I believe they had more drawing power than we do.
Amen.
Praying power. Power with God. Power with the Holy Ghost. And I'm not just trying to get people to come to the altar, because if you come to the altar and God don't lay it on your heart, then it's not worth anything. But it bothers me, these little youngins that want to get saved and they come and they pray and they go back and tears and no satisfaction. I believe many years ago some gray-headed grandmas and grandpas and old folks in the church would get around them, and man, I'm telling you, they had a burning desire to see people saved.
Amen.
Had a lot of people, and I'm not, you got to be really careful. A lot of times the saints would go back and talk to people. They weren't just trying to get a number. They was really burdened about their youngins. You let grandma come around crying, weeping over you, you may not get saved then, but I'm telling you, that leaves a mark. Somebody loved me enough to cry over me and pray for me and ask me if I was lost right there in church. I mean, I've seen God move in some places. That's the drawing power. Just getting in on what God's already doing. I'm not saying pull somebody, twist their arm. But there's got to be some drawing power in the church to get them 153 fish to land. And preacher, what's that 153 mean? I have no idea, and I don't know anybody does. I've looked at that. But I'll tell you this, how many did they catch? They caught all of them. And the net was not broken. I like that. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse number 44, and the Father, no man cometh to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And it's always coupled with this, and I'll raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
You know, the Lord ain't going to lose any along the way.
Right.
Somebody asked me one time, they said, well, if at the resurrection we're going to receive our spiritual body, what if somebody was burned up in the fire? What if somebody drowned at sea and the sharks eat them? What if somebody's been dead so long they've turned back to dust? Don't worry a bit about that. The Lord knows where every one of them is. He's going to raise them up at the last day. He don't need no grave marker to know where you are. Jesus said, all that comes to me, I'll raise him up at the last day. Not a one is going to be lost. Jesus said in John chapter 10, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Before Calvary, the net was broke. They got him into the ship, and the two ships about sank. Is that the right word? This time, they got every one of them ashore, and the net didn't break. And the net's not going to break. You can't lose your salvation. I praise the Lord for that. There's got to be a cooperating with the drawing of God. And that's our part. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I appreciate your good attention. And I thank the Lord for giving me strength to preach one more time this week. That's a lot of preaching this week. I believe we got a good church. I believe we got good people that loves the Lord, wants to see souls saved, all those things. But I need in my life, I need to have the power of God. You need in your life, your neighbors, your grandchildren, your children, your community, people you work with, you need to have the drawing. The power of the Lord upon our lives. And so that's our part. I just wonder tonight, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just invite the church, if you're